Let's roll. Co-pilot on the passenger side, we so fly. She so lit, we so high. Just me and my chick, yeah. Just me and my chick, yeah. Co-pilot on the passenger side, we so fly. She so lit, we so high. Just me and my chick, yeah. Just me and my chick, yeah. She give me a. Yo, yo, what up, y'all? Welcome to another one, man. It's your boy, Rob One, and this is Sparking Conversation. And y'all know what I do each and every week. I get up here and I talk to some of the world's most interesting people. And this week, I'm going to do the same thing, all right? Look, whoever guests to come on tonight. But in the event that the guests don't show up, y'all know I still got it for y'all, right? I try to make sure that just in case, because things happen, you know, people's lives be lifing. And so I guess for me, I can't take it personal when people don't show, you know what I mean? And although, you know, people do really jump out the window and book the date, I do everything behind the scenes to make sure that they are aware of the show is coming up. No matter how far out I have you booked, I have alerts and reminders that keep the guests up to speed about the show and it's coming and everything that's going on. So I can't really blame myself for that. Like, communication is the one thing that I thrive on in life in general. Even if it doesn't always work in my favor, I still say it, right? So with that being said, in the event that my guests don't show up, I still got some information for y'all. But it's still the same thing, man. Each and every week, I'm talking to the world's most interesting people. But before we get into all that, right, I definitely have to give it up for all the people that download the audio version of this platform, okay? Because the audio version of this platform is important, all right? Because, look, we also always talk about this each and every week when it comes down to this whole podcasting game, right? Like, I know, even, you know, and I'm gonna keep making sure that I motivate all my people out there that's in this particular space. Because you know how it is. You know how it is. You know, people come at you all the time telling you that everybody is doing this and everybody is doing that. When everybody's not you, all right? Now, listen, I just want you guys to understand that if you take this thing serious and really follow the rules and follow the guidelines, you could be successful. And the audio version of podcast is what's successful. That is what drives your platform. That is what helps your platform be considered a podcast. Outside of that, you know, the visual part and all that, you know, it could be considered whatever at that point. Television show, I mean, it still could be called a podcast, I guess. You know, but thank you to all the people that download the audio version of this platform. I definitely got to give it up to y'all each and every week. All right. Okay. So before we get into that, you know what I mean? I got to give a shout out to the sponsors, all the people that rock with the platform. So let's do that real quick. All right. So for all of you guys that are into comedies, content creation, y'all love people that are creative, short films, skits and all that. Thank y'all so much for all of y'all that have pushed play on Kill No One Part 1, Kill No One Part 2, and also the Storm Den series that's rolling right now. I thank each and every person for jumping out there, pushing play on the content, supporting the content, liking, sharing, and commenting. Thank y'all so much, y'all, the real MVPs, because I'm telling y'all, every time we push something out, people, they gravitate to it, they support it, and that's what's really dope. Because I tell y'all all the time, man, being creative is something that is in you. And so many people have been allowed, well, not been allowed, but they have to suppress it because of the way life is set up. Life is set up for people not to be creative. Life is set up for you to be something that you're not. You know, we're all programmed to follow a rule and a steady, the same old routine every day, to the point where our imaginations and the things that we really love to do deep down inside, we put those to the back burner because we put everything else in front of us, you know. So thank you to everybody that pushed play on that. To all the people that's been checking out the Good Feels brand, yes, to all of you guys out there that like to get where you need to be without alcohol, you know what to do. Check out the Good Feels brand. The link is in my description. Get more information. Use code ROB1 for a 20% discount, okay? 20% off your complete order. So go check them out. and see if this is a good fit for you and enhance your experience, okay? All right, so my guest is here. So what we're going to do, before I bring my guest up, y'all know how we do each and every week. I have to definitely get, before we go, I got to give y'all collective wear. The early bird get the worm. Y'all know where the merch is. Y'all click the link in the descriptions and support the platform. Early bird get the worm. And I think it's a lot of people with that mentality, right? Because I noticed the earlier you get up and get things done, the more of the day you have. And that's the only thing that separates those of you guys that consider yourself in a certain class or a tax bracket versus where you want to be when it comes down to wealth and all those other things. The only thing that separates you from them is that these people get up early. Everyone has the same 24 hours per day. It's just that some people get up earlier to start their day to get the most done, to have the most time to themselves throughout the day. And that's one of those things that I talk about when it comes down to mindset and rearranging your mind to not be in a routine each and every day. But I'm not telling people what to do. I'm just saying, like, in this life, we only get this time that we're in right now, present. That's it. But y'all know it's been a lot going on all week. So let me give y'all my rant and stuff like that before I bring my guest up. And, you know, I'm looking at all these things, right? Because it's been coming across, you know, last week we talked a little bit about everything that's going on with the SNAP benefits and these things like that. And, you know, the government and the shutdown and all that other stuff, you know, like we don't really talk politics on here, but politics, it affects all of us, right? But the entitlement spirit that so many people have is just what is really just so, it's just so difficult to understand at times when you know that you're a person that had to get up each and every day and put in the work that you put in to have the things that you have to a person who feels like they just feel entitled to the privileges that come from what you do each and every day. Because that's the one thing about it. I think a lot of people forget that although these things come from the government, so to speak, it still come from the people that get up each and every day and they punch that clock. Or, you know, they open these businesses and they hire people and these things like that. Like those taxes that are taken out of is the money that's being used to subsidize a lot of these people and these different things that they talk about and these programs and benefits and stuff like that. But the fact that you guys are threatening to rob those very people that do that, man, I'm just saying, yo, that's pretty foul. And the fact that, you know, this entitled mentality is just running rampant, and it doesn't matter what your race is, and that's just what's so crazy about it. That's the thing that is just used to keep us separate, right? But dang, mindset, man. For people who really feel entitled, like these things belong to them. You know, they've been able to set their life up and their lifestyle in a way that's comfortable for them, so they feel entitled to those benefits and those privileges without even having to contribute to them. You know, and that's how a lot of relationships, even like with family, ain't that how family break up a lot of times? A lot of people just take advantage of the fact that a person is your family. You feel like you can do whatever you want to them and there's no consequence because you just feel entitled because they're supposed to based on the title. Yo, I really wish that that wasn't the case, right? Because in a lot of things that we do out here, it's going to come a time where certain things are going to affect all of us, and we're going to need all of us. We're going to need each other. And the more you do things like that, the more you're going to keep yourself separate and alienated, the more you're not going to be able to get that help you need when you really need it. So I just want to throw that out there to y'all. Make sure y'all pay attention to all you women out there. Make sure y'all pay attention throughout these shopping seasons and all of that other stuff. If you guys are still celebrating and doing these things, please pay attention. Please, please pay attention. If you're shopping at night, just pay attention. I want to make sure I reiterate that. Pay attention. All right. A lot of you ladies always say that men are not protecting you ladies nowadays. But the fact that, you know, protection comes in a form of listening too. So I hope that you guys are listening and just understand whether, you know, I don't have to be the person that's standing in front of you to take a bullet or a knife for me to be able to help say that I want to protect you guys. But just hopefully that whatever you guys watching this live and watch the playback, you guys are take that in and make sure that every time you go out your house, especially at night, that you pay attention, you watch your corners, stay off your phone while you're walking in and out of stores, right? when you get in your car, make sure you lock your doors if it don't do it automatically. Put your, you know, if you're going to put your food in, I say try to put it through your back seat. You know what I mean? Don't put it in your trunk. Your trunk, your back is completely to wherever. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's the aisle or the lane or whatever. So try to put it in your back seat. That's why where you sideways, you neutral, and you can catch a pivot. 9 times out of 10, it should be a car next to you. So your back, right, can kind of be protected. So I just want y'all to make sure y'all pay attention. Take those small little tidbits. I promise you, those few little seconds will help you defend yourself in the event that people are out there trying to be corny because they don't want to get a job. Okay. So, ladies, y'all know I have a really huge female fan base, so I'm hoping that the males, too, can take some information from my guests tonight because what we want to do is that we want to spread empowerment, right? We want to spread education in the form of entrepreneurship and all the things that come along with it. And y'all know on my platform, that's what I love to do. I love to give out the information. There's no gatekeeping. Sparking Conversation is that platform, right? So that people can get together and have a conversation. These are things that can help you guys navigate what's coming. So many people are afraid of AI instead of learning how to use AI. I want y'all to know AI won't be taking your jobs. Who's going to take your jobs are the people who learn how to use it. So I want y'all to get this information that's coming on tonight, right? I want y'all to pay attention to what my guest has to say. She's very educated in so many areas in which she's getting ready to come up and talk about. So that's why I'm saying, hopefully you guys are going to pay attention, get this information. And listen, I'm hopefully at the end of the program, she'll be willing to give out information for you guys to be able to contact her or her team to find out more on how you can elevate and get to that next level. Okay, so let's do this real quick. Let's bring my guest up because we got to talk. There she is. Hello, hello, hello. Can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
Okay, great, great, great. Well, listen, I definitely appreciate you joining the platform today, okay? I want you to do me a favor. If you don't mind, can you just introduce yourself to the audience and then let them know why you're on the platform this evening?
Happy to. My name's Catherine Ferris. I am the owner of Marketex and Marketex Engine. And I'm here to do exactly what you said. I'm here to talk about business. I'm here to talk about AI. Marketing automation is one of my favorite topics as well. I'm here to share.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like that's very important. I even with what I'm doing right now, the information that you have to share, right? Because there's so many people who are in a state of fear right now. Versus using this as an opportunity to learn. You know, so many things that are uncomfortable to people tend to make them shy away and be anxious more so than they feel like, let me learn about what this change is, right? Mm-hmm. So do me a favor. Let's just talk a little bit about you. Let's say, let's talk a little bit about your background and all of these things and how you pretty much got started in this area.
Sure. Well, so I've been in business, basically started my marketing agency about 16 years ago, 2009. So there's been a lot of shifts, you know, from the time that I started, what I thought I was going to be doing, what I ended up doing, what I'm doing now. It's all different parts of the story, as I think most business owners would say. I actually was in finance before this. I was in banking. I was a vice president, commercial lender, all the stuff. The part I hated the most was the sales. The part I loved the most was the numbers and the paperwork, believe it or not. But I was always drawn to technology. I was always, you know, I didn't even own a computer until I was in college because we couldn't afford one, you know? Right. And so I do kind of laugh when I see the articles and the arguments for, you know, why kids have to have computers and learn tech and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm a case study against that, but sure. Because like I said, I didn't even own a computer, but by my third year in college, my computer teachers were contacting me saying, hey, how have you figured this out? My tech department at the bank was contacting me saying, hey, we need to build a template for this or something for that. So it always came fairly naturally to me. I was always very organized. Spreadsheets were always my jam. Love them. Right. And I remember, I think the first time it really hit me that I should probably be doing something different was when I was sitting behind my desk. I was an assistant manager at a bank, sitting behind my desk, and one of my business customers at the bank brings their laptop to me and says, hey, you're good with computers, right? Can you help me figure this out? And it was the first time I was introduced to MailChimp.
Huh. Yeah.
I'd never done anything like that. I didn't even really know what an email newsletter was at that point. I mean, this had to have been 2006 or seven, you know? I didn't even know what it was, but I was like, sure, let's click some buttons. Let's do this. Let's do that. And I think within 30 minutes, I actually helped her produce her newsletter without really knowing what I was doing.
Gotcha.
And it was one of those like ahas, like, hey, I should be able to do something else with this. This was kind of fun. And I think from that moment kind of spurred the idea of let's play with this. Let's play with that. Let's learn this. Let's learn that. And it grew into its own business. I was moonlighting for quite a while, eventually went full time, brought in team members slowly but surely to fill different needs that I had, and just kind of kept rolling with it.
Yeah, and I like that, right? We I talk about this a lot on the platform, is our road to our purpose. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we don't understand, sometimes it ain't so much what we can do that determines what our purpose is. It's just how we discover it. Mm-hmm. Right? Because even with the fact of you having a niche for, you know, tech without even owning a piece of tech, still kind of equates to like what your gift is, right? Because I tell a lot of people, you know, you have a superpower. Yeah, you may not can't fly, you may not can't walk through a wall, but we all have what we could consider a superpower at some point. It's something that we can do that's in our DNA, that's in our genetics, that we don't know how or why, but we can do it. Mm-hmm. And every, you know, tell besides maybe Spider-Man and a couple of other people who got bit or electrocuted, for the most part, their body or their DNA still was able to handle that. So even with those extra things happening, what was a part of them still made them who they were. And I'm thinking with you, that's very important that you said that, because you allow a customer to come in and actually help you to find your niche, and you just never know, that customer coming and handing you that laptop turned it into what you're doing now. And that's what I'm saying, sometimes it's the small thing. So let's talk about this, because coming out of finances, when I looked you, when I did my research about you, that was one of the things that I thought was very interesting, in the fact of finance and tech together. But the fact that you have such a, you know, a high level of finance background and adding the tech, I know this has to be a really, really dope experience. So talk to me a little bit about, you know, how you started off in the financial field that branched you over in there, because you did commercial lending and all that. So,
Well, I mean, so really I started in finance in 2001, October of 2001. And if you think about that date and you think about that time in our history, it was literally
almost a month right after. Yeah.
Yep. So I actually started in finance in an interesting time. I mean, I can remember times. I actually remember a time I was at that same branch, and most of out of my 12 years in finance or whatever it was, like 11 of those years were all with one community bank. So first of all, it was very community focused, very different than working for a big bank per se, or, you know, big lenders. It was definitely, I knew my neighbors. Those were my customers. They were local. Everything, it was very personable. So it is very different than big finance.
Right.
But I remember a time there was a particular, and I'm not going to remember what it was that the legislation was going through, but there was some piece of legislation that they were voting on. And I remember before we left the office that night, they said, okay, we have two contingency plans for the morning. Depending on how this bill goes tonight, we are or not opening our doors in the morning, and there may be police here. And it was like, oh, okay. You know, and I think I had been in banking for like 3 years at that point, and I was already an assistant manager, and I started as like a part-time teller in college. You know what I mean? It wasn't I worked my butt off to get up the chain to where I was. I was the youngest VP when I finally actually left finance. institution. So, you know, I had drive. I was ready for it, but it was definitely an interesting time, not an easy time to be in finance. You go to a networking meeting, a business meeting, and you tell somebody, yeah, I work for such and such bank. They're like, oh yeah, nice to meet you. Next. You know, that was so different for me than when I started my own business and walked in with a business card that said I was doing online marketing. Again, in 2009, 2010, that was revolutionary, right? The idea of online marketing. So when I said that, people went, what does that mean? So it was all new. There was so much change. You know, in banking at that time, we were still like ATMs were hot. The idea that I didn't have to talk to a person to get my money. So when you ask about like tech and finance, when I started the two, they weren't really combined very well. They weren't really intermingled. I was still filling out paper applications for loans. I mean, I was still like, it wasn't like online banks. The only online bank you really knew of was PayPal, and nobody thought of it as a bank.
Yeah, but then that's the thing, because that's why I set up your story is interesting when I did the research, because of the fact that during the time that you were in finance and tech was just, you know, like it's just certain amount of things that were just starting to really come around and make people understand that we were heading towards that way, right? In the future. Yes. When the way cell phones were.
Yeah, people were afraid of it. Us trying to sell online banking was a chore back then. Right now, people won't go to a bank. They can't deposit checks on their phone. Right. Back then, it was a full-time job just to get somebody to use online banking. I remember having to explain to people that a debit card was safer than their checkbook, and having them take out their checkbook, and I would show them, there's your routing number, there's your account number, there's your home address, there's your name. When you hand somebody this, do you know how easy it is for them to steal your identity? If somebody steals this checking account information, you have to close your account. If somebody steals this debit card, we just give you a new one. And they were like, what?
But that's what it takes sometimes, right? The way that things are explained to people is how they get it. But then what you said was really important. People are afraid when things are new. So it's the same thing when it comes down to AI now, and the same thing it did when it came down to crypto, because that's all digital and all of these things, blockchain, smart contracts. These are things that people are not paying attention to, not knowing that, you know, mortgages and all these other things are going to be tokenized at some point here soon, to the point where you're going to have to learn about it, right? Like, it's not one of those things where you're not, you know? And so that's why I said for you, I think that's a great story. And I think that for the people that's watching and people who, you know, will watch the playback as we get more into your story, that they should be able to get some type of motivation from you, right? Because number one, we all know that right now, finances is like the one thing that got everybody in a frenzy right now, whether it's through the shutdown or people just getting a regular paycheck. How are they going to get from here to there? You know, certain people that work for the government are still going to work expecting back pay, but until then, they're dipping in savings and da-da-da-da. Oh, yeah. So in this particular time, too, is really hard, right? Because then you have so many people who wanted to start a business, had no idea that this was getting ready to happen, and all of these, you know, so that's what I wanted you to talk a little bit about. Can you tell us about mindset real quick? Your mindset that you had to put, like the way you had to focus in during the time when both financing was really not attractive and technology wasn't attractive based on that. So talk a little bit about your mindset to overcome those things.
I think a lot of it goes back to kind of what you were either saying before, and maybe it was even before I got on, about learning, you know, and about that desire to learn. And I think that that is a huge piece of it. I mean, even what you were just saying about like the blockchain and cryptocurrency, I mean, when that stuff first came out, or NFTs, you know, I mean, nobody really, I mean, those came out and they were insane. Nobody really knew what they were, but I was over there watching videos with my morning coffee, trying to figure out, okay, what do these words mean? What is this? Is this, you know, what do I think about this? What I went out and made an NFT of my logo just in case. You know what I mean? Because I wasn't sure where it was going to go. I just wasn't sure. And, you know, you're looking for like just all of this type of new stuff. And the best way that you can do it is to search out those people that are a little bit ahead and search out that education wherever you can find it. A lot of my marketing knowledge has come from self-education, some of it on the job training, but a lot of it is taking little courses, watching videos, doing things like that. It's not all formal education. Especially with the track and how fast things are moving and evolving right now, I feel like formal education would be outdated in 3 months by the time you finished a course in some cases. Right. You know, AI and these things, I mean, some of the stuff that we were learning just 3 months ago, already there's new programs replacing it.
True.
It's really interesting to keep up. And I will say that even on my part, for some of those reasons, I'll watch something and maybe it is that I've done enough of this now that I can sense it a little bit, but I'll watch something and I go, that seems a little complicated. I bet you there's going to be an easier solution in a month. I'm going to wait before I, like, I'll still watch a video on it. I'll still learn the language. But then I might give it a minute just to see if someone comes out with something that's a little less time consuming because it is changing so fast.
Gotcha. So for you, the thing that you would say is the desire to learn. That's what really puts your mindset in a place to say, hey, I'm not going to just go based on what I'm used to and what I know as far as financing. I'm going to learn this thing that everybody is trying to say is so scary. Like, I'm going to learn who the big black wolf is. Now that's the most important part about whatever a person want to do is to have the first make up in their mind that they can do it. Because most of the time when we go to learn something, it's to see if we can do it. Then once we figure it out based on the way people give their information, we'll try to do it. And then through trying to do it, we'll figure out we can do it. Then, oh man, it's gone from there. But you said the thing that's the most important. First thing before you could get anywhere is you have to want to learn it. And that is where the mindset shift changes from going based on what you know already to saying, yo, I know this, right? Yeah, but I'm going to learn this. Because I think I heard you say earlier that you were moonlighting for a while and then you jumped out there and did it full time. So that's why I'm saying mindset is so important, because what we start off just doing on the side, to believe it, to be in front is...
Oh, that's a huge shift. Yeah. Huge.
So let's talk about that shift, because that's...
Oh, that was by far probably one of my biggest leaps of faith, I will say.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was 2013. I mean, I hired people before I quit my full-time job. Like, that's how hard it was for me. Now, I should also caveat, I should say, so I am the sole breadwinner for our household. And at the time, I had a 3-month-old.
Wow.
Yeah. So there was multiple caveats to the whole personal side of that story. Right. And what was going on and just where my head was at with a lot of things. And so at the time, actually, my husband and I had just a very real conversation. I was like, look, the business is this close to being able to pay our bills. I can quit the full-time job with all the benefits and the health insurance and all this stuff. My husband was a stay-at-home parent. I said, I can quit that and I can go full time for it. And worst case scenario, we file bankruptcy by the end of the year. What do you think? And he went, let's do it.
Wow.
And wow. So I gave up the full time job, which, you know, was not easy. I had worked hard for that position. But I gave up the full time job. We went without health insurance for several months until I found a solution for that. And with a 3-month-old, again, very nerve-wracking. But within 6 months, my business doubled. And then it continued to grow from there.
Wow. See? And that's it, you know, and sometimes, you know, just to hear this part of your story, because in a lot of ways, the role is usually reverse. Right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And then in that role reversal, most of the time, women are not happy to be considered that. whenever right. they have, whatever they consider a man's role to be, regardless of what his intention may be, right? Because whenever it comes down to, you know, women being considered the sole breadwinner, it also comes with a set of where people feel like the man is not being respected in the home as the leader because he's not the one that's going out to provide the finances. But then we look at it from the other way around. Like even when the man is the person that's the sole provider, the woman is still here making everything work at home. So it's still job, you know, both people are still working and mm-hmm. you're saying a 3-month-old and we're talking about without putting a child in daycare, because listen, we get it. You know, most of the time people think they're raising their children when all they're doing is putting them to bed at night, right? They're feeding them at night and putting them to bed. Somebody else is raising their children throughout most of the time that they're awake since they're in daycare all the way to, you know, till they're out your house. Yep. You know, very few people get the opportunity to actually raise their children.
Right. And I don't discredit anyone for using daycares. We had that conversation and I do feel like this is personal to every family, right?
Yeah.
You have to make these choices. I mean, if my husband had said, I'm miserable at home and I don't want this role, I would have said, great, go get a job that pays for daycare.
Gotcha.
Like we had that conversation. I never would have told him, no, I'm not putting the kids in daycare. Sorry, you're stuck with this. Like I never would have done that to him. Right. And gotcha. I feel like even if roles were reversed, I would have expected the same level of respect, but he was happy to be a stay-at-home parent. It was actually a conversation we had even before we had children. So this was already sort of in the works. We already knew that once our first child was born, he was working part-time and we were rehabbing our house. He was basically our contractor too. So lots of caveats to what was going on. Because we took advantage of the foreclosure market and we bought a foreclosure back in 2010. So we rehabbed that literally from the ground up. So that was essentially his part-time job. And then he also worked part-time and I was pregnant and working full-time and teaching computer classes in the evening and growing my business all at the same time.
Wow. So
we were hustling. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I don't have that kind of energy now, but we were doing all the stuff. Mm. And then the baby was born and that definitely changes everything. But yeah, so we made very kind of calculated choices, kind of knowing the risks that were ahead of us. We weren't ignorant to what we were, you know, trying to do, but we also decided the risk was worth the reward. And I'm not a gambler, you know, I'm a banker. I'm not a gambler. Like, so it was hard.
Like, that's the part about the mindset, because, you know, having a partner that supports your vision, though, that's really important. Whenever it is an extra person there that you have to share certain types of decisions with, right? Because, you know, when you're on your own, you do whatever you want. But then when you have to consider other people, having people who support your vision, and that's the number one thing, is the vision, because people will put their jobs before their business, right? I've had conversations and it'll go that way. It'll be made to seem like the job is more important than the business. So people want to put more focus on a job than it is their business, not understanding that their business is their way to their freedom. Now, most people may not think that entrepreneurship is freedom because it's still work. It's not like it becomes the fact that now that you own a business, I mean, you can still sleep in and do, you know, that's not the case. But the point is that freedom and coming from doing something you love, not doing something that you just have to do, right? Because the fear, no health insurance, all of these things that you guys actually, so see, that's why I say your story is important. And I'm so glad that you were able to come on. Because these are the examples that people need to see when people are working together, what you can accomplish, right? You did all those things as well as your husband, building your business while you had your job to the point where it was like, okay, let me jump out there. And in that amount of time, like we say 6 months is a long time when you're looking for something. I'm going to be honest. So it ain't like we say it's just 6 months. Wow. But when you please don't get sick. Please don't. You see somebody sneezing, you know, you like, wait a minute, don't sneeze. Why are you sneezing?
Where's the elderberry syrup?
Yeah. Where's it? You know, because you're in that eggshell moment because it's a leap of faith. And that is the thing about having somebody support you through the leap of faith. So that's very important. So double shout out to your husband for being that person, right? Willing to see your vision, because I'm quite sure it's your vision. Mm-hmm. And saying, all right, baby, I'm going to support you. And however we go, we go. Especially with the thought of bankruptcy. You know, a lot of people can't have no conversation like that. Like, no. Like, well, listen, worst thing could happen, we'll go in bankruptcy. No.
Well, right. Now, again, we don't probably have your standard. Like, we do have reversed roles in a sense, right? Where I was a banker, the term bankruptcy was a lot more scary to me than it was to him. He was like, yeah, okay. Yes. You know?
Like, yeah. Okay. You know, because it's gonna
like, but you do the finances. Still, you do it. Go ahead.
Yeah. He has to trust you in that area because that's your expertise. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, when you're having a child, that's the number one thing that we can no longer not think about is the child, right? That becomes like our first priority in life. But then what you guys did was take that priority and say, listen, baby is really important. Everything we have really is important. But this right here will set us up to the point where now our child will not have to go out here and struggle and scrape for them to get employment, for them to be able to. We have a business that we can at some point pass right down to our child to make sure that we provide, like to make sure we set them up for greatness. Because a lot of our parents didn't, like you said, you know, you couldn't afford a computer at one point, right? And that's probably based on the time before college and all that other stuff and things like that. Well, that was the same story for a whole lot of other people, right? Oh, but yeah. Just not everybody. Right. Some people houses you went into, they had multiple computers. You was like, yeah.
Multiple TVs. I was four. They had two bathrooms.
See what I'm saying? So a lot. So it comes a point in time where once you experience something that is tangible, like, oh, I see. Oh, that can happen. Especially when you have a vision, it's amazing. So, do this. Let's talk a little bit about this because I felt like this was important too. Having your baby, right? Did mm-hmm. at any moment during the time when you had? Now I want to say, not even before you guys even conceived or anything like that. I want to say, just when it came down to the ending months and you're getting ready to have the baby, at any point did you feel like you should put your business to the back burner or to the side? No. Were you having any of those type of fear-based moments at all? That's no. very important.
No, I definitely. So, again, my husband and I are probably a little bit unique in the sense that he was already ready to step into that role as the stay-at-home parent. And I very much thought I was going to be excited to go back to my finance job, actually. I think if anything, it surprised me after having my son that I did not want to go back. I did not think I would be one of those women. You know what I mean?
That go back
to their job afterward. Not that I didn't have my business, but there was just something about that for me. Like quitting your job after you had a baby actually held such a stigma for me that was actually really hard too. So I did go back. So I had my son, I took my maternity leave, and then I went back to the bank and I was so miserable and literally like eating my lunch in the car, driving home because I was nursing. So trying to nurse my son, because we lived a mile from my job, you know,
okay.
nursing my son at home while I'm on the computer running my business and then rushing back and eating in my car again to get back to the office and trying to do networking events three nights a week. And then, you know, just all of the other stuff. I was miserable. I was completely miserable. It was like it took that breaking point for me to realize something had to give. And then I realized that I wanted the flexibility. And I would say more at that time in my life, more than the legacy, more than the finances, more than anything, I was craving the flexibility that entrepreneurship was going to bring me just because of the stage that I was in, right? It's if I pay my bills and do it on my own terms, that's what I was craving. That's what I needed as a young mom. And around the time I actually left my banking job, I was pregnant with my second son.
Wow. No, but I think that's something that you said that was really important, because whenever we get to those parts about making decisions, the reason why I asked that question was because, you know, fear is something that I think hits people in a way where it's uncontrollable at times. You know, like, it's a thing where we can notice it, we can recognize it, but for some people, they have this thing inside of them that allows them to try to disregard the fact that it's really fear, and they'll come up with some other type of means of why they won't do something. Because at that particular point, when you're having your child or you get ready to come into your child, you know, being in that place, for you, which I felt like was important, is that although you were miserable with the way you had to do everything, the thing you didn't give up on was the thing that was considered the main breadwinner at the time. Because in most people's situation, they would have gave up on their business.
Right.
Because the networking events, those extra things that they would have felt like would have been stuff that they wouldn't have been doing if they wasn't trying to do their own business. If they just stick with their job, they get paid, they got benefits, they make this amount of money, they can take care of everything, I just do that. And that's where I feel like in the midst of those decisions that are being made, people forget that their purpose is attached to what you said. Flexibility, freedom, flexibility. But the way that you're helping other people scale their businesses, right, to be able to then turn do the same thing that you were able to do with your own, that's a purpose, right? So that's why I'm saying, that's why I asked that question, right? Because listen, let's think about it. Come on, we know that the bills are mostly people's God right now. God is not God in people's lives. The light bill, the mortgage rent, the car note, the insurance, the grocery store, that is their God.
Sad but true.
So many words, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about that, right? In the sense of me using that as that metaphor, just to get your opinion on that.
Yeah. And I don't disagree. It's a tough reality, is what I think, is that we are, you know, the golden handcuffs is a saying for a reason. So many people are attached to things that they're not happy with because they're not willing, able, again, not to judge anybody else's situation, right? I mean,
facts.
Yeah, maybe part of the reason I was willing to take that risk is because I had another supportive adult in my household. If you're a single parent, like my mother was, you know, I don't doubt that it would have been a harder choice to make.
Facts.
If I wasn't in an industry that was so prevalent, like the idea that, okay, I could quit this banking job, and if I fall flat on my face in 6 months, I could probably get another banking job, right? Especially at a young age with my resume. Right. You know, there was some solace in that. There was almost like a safety net in that. So I do think every situation is definitely different. You've got to assess it for yourself. But it's still scary. And, you know, when I had infants at home pregnant, you know, and I was like, yep, we're going to do this. We're going to try this. We're going to make this work.
And I think that's the bottom line is belief, right? Power of manifestation, what you say out of your mouth, the way that you speak over your own life, and, you know, not so much the validation that people seek from other people, but the one that you give yourself, you know, that's how you become successful.
Oh, I had business coaches. Like, I worked with business coaches before I quit my full-time job. I had two tell me, don't quit your day job. I was like, okay, that's helpful.
So then that goes back to that whole thing about when you know, you know.
Right.
Right. It's not for everybody else to know. And I think even coming from a person who was considered to seem like they would know more about it than you, like you said, business coaches, they still don't know what you know. Like, it's a thing about when you feel something, you know, and like I said earlier in the show about imagination, people are had to turn that off because of life. Life has caused them to turn that part of themselves off, not knowing that the imagination comes from the fact of being able to feel, being able to, you know, allow yourself to be creative and not boxed in. That's where your imagination comes from. And then sometimes imagination can create that thing that you seek the most. And sometimes it'll, you know, if not all the time, depending on, you know, what exactly it is, it can maintain your life.
Mm.
You know? I think for the most part, though, what I like about, you know, your story is, like you said, having another supportive adult in the house when we come from homes that are pretty much separated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what is one of the biggest blessings that we could ever come across. Because growing up not having that, but then receiving that in life, that also leads to your purpose, I think, as well, too. You know, so
agreed.
I think we have to really give grace to the people that are sent in our lives sometimes. Because, you know, some people are lessons, and then some people are, you know, whether they know it or not, some people are motivation for us to move forward into our purpose, right? But then we get sent those people who are meant to do it with us, even though it's not their thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like, can a person really say that they were born just to help you?
Well, I'll tell you that when I was leaving my banking job, come to find out, my boss, who, and this was, I'd only been in this bank for 1 year. Like I said, my whole finance career had been with this other bank. I had been in this new bank for 1 year. My supervisor, my direct supervisor, who I had to go to and tell her that I, like, this wasn't working for me, happened to be the sole breadwinner for her family. Her husband was the stay-at-home dad, and she had three boys. So when I went to her and could barely compose myself because I was so disappointed in myself, honestly, for needing to even have this conversation, she just looked at me and goes, I get it, and it's hard. What do you need from me? Mm. So you talk about people being in our lives for a purpose and for a reason. Like, it couldn't have been orchestrated better for me.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Especially with, you know, someone who is in the same space as you. That's, you know, that role is very, very, it's not really spoken about a lot. You know, it comes with some people speak from that role with a sense of resentment. You know, I've known people who have been in relationships, and then one of the partners fell flat at a time and things wasn't working out, and now they're no longer together.
Mm.
Right. Only because of an expectation that a person will have based on a title, right? And I've known a lot of guys who their relationship or their partner have left them whenever they fell in a situation where, you know, finances were tested. And then, you know, the woman will leave them because, you know, in their mind, you know, a man is only as good as what he can provide when it comes to finances. So very seldom do you find women who find the value in the man and really recognize that money is just a tool. It's not the representation of a gender. And it should never be the representation of a gender. It should be the tool that we use to do the things that we need to do. And in spite of who and how that comes in, it should just be, you know, that, and not used as a thing that separates people. But I think that part of your story is really important. So I hope in certain ways when people talk to you, they get that part out of tonight's conversation, right? That you were able to be a person who didn't use gender roles as a means to not follow your purpose. Because you could have very well just been like, you know, as a man, you know, you still do this, we can do that. Because you're not opposed to it, right? You're not opposed to daycare. You're not opposed to a lot of different things to even cause an argument. You were just like, you know, if you want to, this is what we're going to do. But then in most instances, a man wouldn't be allowed to pursue his dream of vision of business. if this role was on the other end, where the woman was a stay-at-home mom, right? And the man was the breadwinner, but he wanted to pursue his business. Or their dynamics where it's not even like that. Both adults have jobs, right? But there may be one person in the household who is focused more on the business than the job. That dynamic butts heads.
Yep.
Right.
And there's a lot of households where, you know, husbands wouldn't be okay with their wives starting a business and not being available to make dinner. Just to look at the opposite side of it, right?
You get what I'm saying?
I do.
So then you got people who have to be blessed on both ends, right? It's like, you know, a person who is allowed, not even allowed, but a person who is supported through their vision really should really take that as a blessing versus taking it as an expectation that a person should just automatically do that, because it's not something that is inside of everyone to support another person's vision when it's not their own.
Or when it could impact them.
And it could, when it could impact them. Now, that's the worst part, because the impact part is what causes relationships to decimate, because
of course,
you got a role reversal and gender identity when it comes to those dynamics. A man loses job, he's so close to losing his family. And then you got on the other end where a man feels guilty if he's not providing in a way that allows the woman to be able to do what she wants. So it's so messed up the way that we were all trained on how to build a family. Let's just say that.
Yeah. You know. And there's lots of women that just want to be stay-at-home moms. And I applaud that as well. You know, just like my husband wanting to be a stay-at-home parent. Like, I don't see a problem with it at all. And I don't know. I mean, I just think people are people, right? And whatever you're good at and whatever you want to do, that's what you just need to find your opposite that complements it.
Yeah. All right. Or, I mean, I guess they got to find you, because, you know, in certain instances, like those never change, right? When a man always approaches the woman, very seldom is it the other way around. So, you know, to be a person like him to find you and say, hey, I found somebody that does this. I don't do it, but hey, I'm going to see her through it. I trust her and let's just roll. There's not a lot of that type of, you know, those personality traits don't exist a lot, right? Because people have that in them, but they can't get past what society has trained them to think when it comes to the gender, the opposite sex. It's hard for them to get past that. Men are only being seen as a form of money. Without money, you're not, you know, you think about how much a man has to do in order to even be wanted or desired by a woman. They have to really build themselves up. A woman could be working at McDonald's. A millionaire could come in there for a burger and see her. If she looked good, and let me get your number. A millionaire, a woman go to McDonald's, see my man at the cash register. She might think he cute, but she ain't giving him no number. That's so a fact.
Funny. Yeah.
So I'm just saying that's just the thing. Right? Not knowing that the man at the cash register got that $1 million idea. He just need
the environment.
Somebody to support him. That's it. And it'll change your life too, but they can't see the value in a man outside of the dollar amount. So that's why I say your story is very important, regardless of how, I think for you, it seems, hey, I don't see nothing wrong with it, but you got to realize that's not the norm for people in this society.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we definitely run into people all the time that they'll be, oh, you know, well, what's your husband do? He stays home with the kids, and they look at me funny. And I'm like, I run a business and I have 5 employees. And they go, oh, you know, because if I say I run a business, most people think it's like an MLM. Or I sell, you know, like, you're a mom running a business out of the house. It's an interesting conversation. Usually, sometimes it takes a little while to get there, and the worst often is church.
Ooh, wow!
Because gender reversing. Gender roles in the household is really hard for a lot of traditional church environments. They cannot understand it. That, and in some, only having two children is also difficult for them to understand. So I will tell you that is probably some of our hardest places is when we're trying to find a church home, is finding that environment where he feels comfortable and not looked down upon for not, you know, working a full-time job outside the house, and where I don't get looked down upon for working and not cooking dinner for my family and only having two kids and that sort of thing. So yeah, that role reversal, that's the hardest place.
And that's the part that people should really mind their business, because whenever it comes down to the way the family dynamic works, the roles don't reverse based on money. And that's where that's the stigma, right? Because your husband's staying at home. What if he trades? Now, people wouldn't even know that. He could be a trader and be, you know, day trading commodities or whatever. And he could be making a whole lot of money just trading every day, but he's home and still being able to be with the children. But nobody would know that, because whenever he says he's home with the children, that could be considered his main thing. That's what he desires to say. This is what I do. You know, I'm with the kids. My kids know, you know, versus it being the other way around, where it's like, you mean tell me your wife is working? Wait, hold on. She doesn't cook? Wait, hold on. As a man, you mean to tell me you change diapers? Who do
I have to schedule the play dates with?
Yeah, like, wait a minute. You the one take them to the park? Hold on. You take them to the birthday parties with all the other moms? You the only dad there? Like, what's going on? So you gotta, you know, and people can't see past that, right? Yep. Because gender role is one of the things that have been used, in my opinion, to hold us back. I don't think that as a man, that my version of the way I think I should be as a man should be questioned. I just feel like, you know, when it comes down to recognizing a man, it shouldn't be based on what he's doing or not doing. When it comes down to his dynamic, if it's working for them, right? Not judging another man for being a stay-at-home guy.
Or a woman for choosing to go to work.
Exactly, right? Because, you know, you think about it. You say, yo, my wife she's a stay-at-home mom, but the dad still is the cook. So it's the dynamic when it comes to that. Because then, hey, there's a guy who's a chef. Right. Because I noticed this too in this dynamic, when there's a man that's a chef, right? He's a chef. He cooks all day. The last thing he does when he comes home is cook.
Right.
But people would expect him to come cook because that's what he does. It's just like you as a woman. They expect you to be home with the kids, making them up because you're a woman. They expect him to be out taking the hours, fighting the elements, doing all this other stuff that people got to do outside when they go to work every day, because he's the man.
Well, how about when you walk into somebody's house, if the floor is not swept, who do you think it's on?
They're going to look at you.
That's right.
As a woman. Versus it being like, I want you to know that the man was here all day. But it would never be looked at that. If the house is not clean, it'll be looked at as the woman, she's not keeping house. Not that, okay, well, the dynamic in this house is that she's the one that's providing this part. I'm going to do all this other part, right, to make sure that
even if people know that he stays at home and I'm working, I feel like when people come over, they kind of look at me. If things aren't picked up, it's very interesting.
It's that type of dynamic. So when you put that with business and then you add success with that, because then if the business wasn't doing well, they would say, oh, it's because he is not a part of her business, or he didn't do this, that, and the third, because the man is supposed to be, boom. Right. And so, but the one thing about it, whether you, and this is the saddest part about being a man, this is just the truth. Whether you're the sole provider financially or not, if the house ever fails, the man will be looked at as the reason why. Just like how, although you're the breadwinner, when you come in, people look at the house not being a certain way as it's your fault. Yep. If the foreclosure comes, it wouldn't matter that you were, it will look like it's his fault.
Gotcha. That's probably true.
Because of the, because no matter what, he's still the leader of the household. Right. Money doesn't separate your role when it comes to that. Somebody kicking the door, he got to be first. He can't say, baby, you go to, you make all the, pay all the bills, go take me. That don't work.
Yeah, right? No. That, and in that sense, we're traditional. He's very much the protector and lifts all the heavy things.
You get what I'm saying? So that's what I'm saying. In the family dynamic, these particular roles don't change. Mm-hmm. Money, though, is not the determining factor of these roles, is what I'm saying. Like, money doesn't determine whether a person is respected in their role or not. You're the mom. You may not cook every day, but you still got to be respected as a mom because life came through you. Our family is continuing because the life came through you. That is a, in a level of its own. Men will never have to deal with that particular portion of the pain that you guys deal with, right? So we always have to be in debt to y'all when it comes to that. But in reverse, we're the leader. It doesn't matter who bringing the money in. Because though I bring money in, I send you out to the fight for the person getting in the door. I have to go regardless of what it is. My role don't change when it comes to that. So what I'm saying to you is that, yeah, people may look at you as why the toys are kind of scattered around. Mm-hmm. But if the business doesn't work, regardless, if the house falls, it's going to be looked at as it's his fault.
That's probably true.
And that's the saddest truth about this thing that we live is that, you know, no matter what, it's just certain things that we have to do.
Right.
And one of them is, you know, when it comes to our family, it's just, It's inevitable for us to be that. But I like the fact that you are open to, you know, discussing that part of your life with people, because people need to understand that as human beings, we're not just subject to the gender role based on money. It's just I wish we can help people's mindset change when it comes to that. Because there's so many new entrepreneurs, new millionaires, new businesses, if people would just find a way to work together versus finding a way to be separate. Because that I could do bad all by myself. Then to be with somebody else, nah, that ain't it. You be by yourself if you want to and don't have a bag of chips. At least the person over here got the chips, right? Yeah. No, we cannot live our lives saying that I could do bad by myself. Yes, we all can, but we can do better together.
For sure. For sure.
So, let's do this. So before we get out of here, because we want people to be able to contact you, you know, and to be able to talk more about how they can integrate automation and all those, even though we didn't really talk about that, that's the reason why I love this platform, right? Is because a lot of times people have businesses, but people don't know the person behind the business. They also know that a person is selling them something. Very seldom do they know what this person is that's selling them something. People getting more into your story should help them determine how they should be able to support you more. So let's talk a little bit about, before we go, how people can, first of all, let's do this. Automation. I know you said something about MailChimp. For those of you guys that don't know, MailChimp is a way that you can pretty much, it's not automation, but it's a way you can contact a group of people in your email list all at one time with the same information to be able to engage with people versus having to do it individually. But I know they have new components to MailChimp now. Everything is upgraded. So if people want to know more about how to automate their business to scale and to be more successful, how can they do that with you?
Yeah. So first of all, I would give a plug for the platform called High Level.
Okay.
So over and above MailChimp, if you want to like not just your email marketing, but all of your marketing, High Level is more of an all-in-one automator. So I've been doing a lot of videos on this on YouTube. And so if you want to learn more about that, I would highly recommend you go check out my YouTube videos. I'd love to have more subscribers, and I'd love to have feedback if people have questions on how to do things and what they want to automate. that would be the platform I would say that would be really good to engage with. And it's Marketex on YouTube. And then we actually have our own platform, our own high level, what's called a white label agency. So we pre-build a lot of the automations that we think are best for small businesses, mostly professional service-based businesses like business coaches, consultants. We actually work with lawyers and CPAs and bookkeepers and all the professional services. So we have a lot of the marketing automation pre-built if you actually join our Marketex Engine suite. So those would be pretty much the ways I would say, like take a look at the YouTube, see what I'm talking about when I talk about marketing automation. I actually do have a really like a 13-minute video on making custom GPTs, which I'm addicted to on there. So if you're new to AI, that's a great starting point. It's you can, you know, $20 ChatGPT account and you can make custom GPTs and they're amazing. So those would be the starting points that I would say, like, dip your toes in, learn about some of this stuff. And then I'd love to, you know, take questions, have a chat. We have a free consultation on our website, et cetera.
Okay, good. How do you like Zapier? Have you heard of Zapier?
Yeah. So, I mean, we've used Zapier for probably 10 plus years. It is good for connecting programs. It's the middleman between programs. Honestly, since we started using High Level, which was really 2024, we started using High Level. So it is, we're on the newer side. We have not had to use Zapier.
Wow. Okay. So that's important. So for those of y'all that are watching, Zapier. So Zapier is, like she said, it's the connector to other like parts of your business, so to speak. So let's say like you have email. If, you know, people can put in certain keywords and your subject and all that, and then Zapier, you can set it up where it can respond to people and send out certain messages based on certain keywords that they send automatically. So you're not having to do all of the manual reading of your emails, responding to people and different things like that. Now they do other things too as well, but if, like she said, you don't have to use it because of the new, because I think that's cool because, yeah, that if that one platform does it all without having to have that middle person in between, that is really cool. So for those of you guys that have businesses, small businesses, and then let me ask you about this when it comes down to that part of business and automation. Do you guys do that based on lead generation too for certain companies and stuff like that? Like if they need, you know, lead generation for real estate or
So High Level has, I mean, if you're using like Calendly or something like that for booking, so that's built in. If you're using DocuSign for contracts, that's built in. If you're using MailChimp for email marketing, that's built in. If you're using Hootsuite for social media scheduling, that's built in. All of those things in one platform, and that's not even everything. There's a bunch of other stuff. There's reputation management. There's so much built into one platform. And even if you went through us and like got our support with it, you're still only talking about $300 a month, which is nothing when you start adding up all the costs of all those other platforms.
Separately. Yeah, exactly. And so with the Hootsuite, sort of capability that you guys have for marketing and posting on social media, are you guys integrated with Facebook? Because I know they have a new thing that they do where they don't allow that. So you guys are actually integrated with Facebook.
At this time, we are integrated with Facebook. Now, if they change something, I'm not saying there couldn't be a shift in that. But yes, at this time, Facebook, Instagram, the only one we're not connected with right now is X/Twitter. That's the only one that their API, I guess, is super expensive. And so we're not connected with that one. But we're even connected with like Threads, TikTok, YouTube. Like they're all connected.
Everything's connected except for that. Yeah, because they do that when it comes down to those automations, when it comes down to posts. And it's like one of the major ones will not be available some type of way. It's like they force you to have at least more than one. So for scheduling of posts, which is kind of the most important thing, because when it comes down to content creation, especially with videos and stuff like that, while we're asleep, other people are woke. So you like to schedule your content to post during the times where, you know, the other half of the world is woke while we sleep.
Yep.
But Yeah.
So it's tough. We can schedule comments on posts too.
Wow.
And you can make content cues. So you do something like you take all of your blog posts on your website, you build out content around all those, you put it on a queue to recycle once a week.
And it'll do it on its own for you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And then with the GPTs, those are like little, you know, agents, because I don't think a lot of people are familiar with GPTs right now. So though you say that, but those are like, you know, you can create your own little workers, so to speak, and give them tasks and stuff like that for you, right? So say a little bit about that real quick.
Yeah, sure. So custom GPTs, like I said, I think this is probably the easiest way to custom AI right now. So if you have a ChatGPT account, you'll notice there's usually a section in your left-hand menu that says custom mm-hmm. GPTs or explore GPTs. And you'll find mm-hmm. when you open that up, there's a bunch that have already been created. And even on a free account, you can use these. I think one of the first ones that pops up when I go in there is one for Canva. And it's like, it'll answer all your Canva questions. You don't even have to tell it you're asking a question about Canva, because it's basically pre-programmed to know all the stuff about Canva. So that's a custom GPT. So if you have the $20 version of ChatGPT, which is pretty inexpensive, you can make your own. So you can train your own custom GPT to know all about your business. Or, for example, we have consultants and coaches that have, say, an online program. You take all the content from your online program, you put it into the back end of a GPT, and you train this GPT on your program. You now have basically an AI bot for your program. You just gave your program AI for $20 a month.
And that chat bot can do a lot. I think people really they have to keep their mind open to the new technology and not be afraid of it. Mm-hmm. And I think you know what you're saying is a good way for people to actually start to understand that, you know, learn how to use it. Don't be scared that it's going to take your job. Just be scared that the person who learns it is going to take your job, right? Because if you don't. That's so great. So outside of that, is there any last words you would like to leave the audience with when it comes down to, you know, you personally, anything business-wise, or, you know, just when best time to contact you and all these different things?
I mean, I'm not necessarily, like I said, I think like I've been spending a lot of time on YouTube. If this all sounds interesting to you, I would definitely point you in that direction to check out some videos. I know me personally, you know, 2 years ago, I probably wasn't on YouTube very much. The last 2 years, the amount of learning that has come through just watching YouTube videos has been huge for me. It's what I do for 15 minutes with my coffee every morning instead of scrolling Facebook. So highly recommend that like micro learning kind of environment.
Great. And tell them your YouTube channel real quick so they'll know.
Yeah, so it's just at Marketex. It's the business name.
Marketex. Yep. All right. So y'all see the name under her name, Marketex. Make sure y'all look that up on YouTube. Subscribe to the channel. Get some information. Learn more about automation and how it can apply to your business. Automation can be applied to any business, y'all. So don't think because we didn't mention your particular industry right now that that's not the case. I mean, they can automate, you know, messages for you through Facebook, text messaging, WhatsApp, or whatever. Like if you have that type of thing, they can also set up automation for you when it comes down to, like I said earlier, which is most important, lead generation. Mm-hmm. Right? And so many people in sales positions, I mean, come on, let's be honest. A lot of the things that we consume every day is based on the fact that somebody is selling it. So that can even be automated. So if your business is that, if you're into, like me, if you're into platforms and content creation and filmmaking and all these things, there's a whole lot of automation that could take place for us, you know, that things that I use right now, but it's not about me. That's why I have my guests up here to talk from their expertise, because, you know, so many people ask me how am I doing all these things when it's just me? And I'm saying it's because I'm opting to learn how to use artificial intelligence versus being scared. So thank you so much, Catherine, for jumping on and sharing your story with the audience. Is there any last words you'd like to leave with the people before we get out of here?
No, just like you said, don't be afraid to learn the new stuff. I mean, I think as you start to dabble, I hope the ball of yarn unravels and you get more excited about it.
Facts. So to those of y'all that watched tonight, thank y'all so much. To everyone who was going to watch this playback, thank you guys for joining us like y'all do each and every week, each and every Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're here. We show up for you. And like I said, I talk to some of the world's most interesting people. So until next week, you guys stay cool out there. And remember, if you don't believe in yourself, nobody else will. So peace.